Yesterday we discussed the Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, how to understand this sugya on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, whether the name of the Rav Papa is talking about a Vesta Chodesh or a Vesta Haflaga. The Ramban, who understood in the last iteration of the Gemara there, that the Gemara has a case where a woman has a Vest Kavua for a Haflaga of 20 days. She doesn't see in that final instance after at the point at which she's seeing at 30-day intervals, 30-day interval, and then the Ramban understands that we're counting an additional 20-day interval after the 30-day interval. So presumably, and we'll see as we go on, this is true, that at least according to some, the Gemara on the Daf Lamed Tes we referenced yesterday, Machlokas HaMaram, about whether you count based on Minyan Arai, meaning, do you count the haflaga from the last Re'iyah, or do you count the haflaga from the last expected Re'iyah? So that Machlokas, the case in the Gemara is, and that Machlokas may only be limited to that kind of a case, where there was a Re'iyah. So if there was a Re'iyah at the last haflaga or at a different haflaga, and then we're still continuing to count based on the haflaga kavua, do we count from the last Re'iyah, or do we count from the time that we would have anticipated the last Re'iyah based on the haflaga kavua? So that's the machlokas by Minyan Arai. But in a case where there is no Re'iyah of any sort at the expected time, if you don't see at 20 days or 30 days, let's say you have a Ves kavua for a 20-day haflaga, a Ves she'ena kavua for a 30-day haflaga, you don't see any of those times. So then it could be you still would count at a 20-day interval if there is no new kvias, and we haven't been okay the last the kvias of a 20-day haflaga. So it could be you would count that from the last anticipated Re'iyah where there's no actual Re'iyah, and that will flesh out in the following sense in a moment. The Mechaber in Sif Yudalid, the case of the Mechaber quotes is essentially the Ramban's understanding of that Gemara, that Memar of Rav Papa, in the context of a Vest Haflaga, where you have, in what situation are you oker a Vest Haflaga Kavua of the 20-day interval, and then you start seeing at 30-day intervals and out of 20-day intervals. So that seer in Shulchan Aruch is basically the way the Ramban understands the Gemara on the bottom of Samach Dalet. But it's still reasonable that even if you accept Perush Rashi and other Rishonim and Akamar and Samach Dalet, the din may still be true in the context of Haflagas. The Gemara could be talking about how you oker a Vest HaChodesh, where there are alternate non-Re'iyos of the expected day of the Vest HaChodesh. But the din, leaving aside the details of when there is a Re'iyah and when there's not a Re'iyah, the way the Gemara presents it here, and the dochik that they're about us to come on to and explain the Gemara, but the principle, as articulated in the Mishnah, the Bottom of Samach Gimel Beis, and the Gemara's example in Samach Dalet of what does it take to be oker a Vest Kavua. So as far as a Vest Haflaga Kavua, that may be true. You know, the seer that they're about to discuss is maybe true lalacha, even if you don't understand that Gemara to be talking about a Vest Haflaga. Okay. We ran out of time discussing yesterday was a case where a woman has a Vest Haflaga Kavua and she doesn't see at the last anticipated Haflaga. So she has a Haflaga Kavua of 20-day intervals, and at the next anticipated 20-day interval, there's no Re'iyah. So are we Choshesh, or do we need to be Choshesh, that in that case where there's no Re'iyah on that day 20 interval, there's no Re'iyah at all in the next few days, are we still Choshesh that maybe she'll see at the next 20-day interval, at a sum total of 39 days since the initial Re'iyah? So the Tor, the way the Beis Yosef understands the Tor, the Beis Yosef understood within the Tor that in order to be fully oker that Taflaga, in a case where a woman has no Re'iyahs at all, is if a woman sees at 20-day intervals, and then she starts seeing at 25-day intervals. So if she sees at three intervals of 25, she's oker the Vest Kavua of 20-day intervals and creates a new Vest Kavua of 25-day intervals. Well, let's say the woman has a 20-day aflaga, and then she stops seeing for months on end. She stops seeing for the next few months. So the way the Torah understood the Beis Yosef, in that case, if three more 20-day aflagos pass without any intervening re'ios, because she gets to day 20 no re'ia, day 40 no re'ia, day 60 no re'ia, or 39 minus 1, but let's just round off to 20. So there's no re'ia at 20, that's one aflaga. There's no re'ia at 40, that's two aflagos. There's no re'ia at 60, that's three aflagos. So then, in that case, she has been oker her vest aflaga kavua of 20 days, and there's no further need to be choshish for that vest kavua. And the next time she sees dam, whatever that may be, the last vest kavua is of no consequence. Anything short of that, meaning if she sees nothing at a 20-day interval, nothing at the 40-day interval, and then she does see dam at some point within the next 20-day interval, so then she hasn't been oker that haflaga, and the next time she sees dam, she would have to count 20 days again from that last re'ia. The Beis Yosef explains that this is partially based on a Gemara in Zayin and Beis, a member of Reblazer, that if a woman is Overes Gimel Onos, she passes three onos without incident, which she understands to be in the context of haflaga, that you count three haflagas without incident. So then she's considered, then it's dayashaita, then she's considered a mitzalek astamet. Shorter than not. But there is significance to counting the haflagos, or the phantom haflagos, even though there is no re'ia in the interim, in order to fully be oker that haflaga kivua. That's how the Torah, the Beis Yosef, understands the Torah. The Taz in Sifkata Lamed Aleph, in a lengthy Sifkata, and he quotes the Marshal. The Marshal was cholik on the Beis Yosef in his understanding of the Torah. And he understood in the Torah that even if she fails to see at a single haflaga, so then you don't have to be choshesh for the original haflaga anymore, even if the original haflaga was kavua. Meaning, it doesn't make any sense if a woman has a vest kavua of a 20-day haflaga. So if she doesn't see after 20 days, what does it mean to count another 20 days after the first 20 days? That 20 days, there's no shaychus. There's no haflaga 20 days means 20 days since the last re'ia. So if there's no re'ia day 20, it's meaningless to count another 20 days from that point going forward. You're not counting off of anything. Haflaga is only relevant if you're counting the interval between or after re'ia. There's no re'ia on day 20, so there's no point. It doesn't mean anything to count another phantom haflaga of 20 days from that day 20. And the Taz disagrees on the Marshal, and the Taz assumes that no, that a vest haflaga is analogous to a vest hachodesh. So just like when it comes to Vesta Chodesh, you need three instances to be oker a Vesta Chodesh, three months in which you don't see on that day. So Vesta Flaga also, you need to pass three, call them phantom aflagos, until you're oker that aflaga kavua, because there's still a possibility. When it comes to Vesta Chodesh, what's the thought process? That a woman has a certain tendency, propensity to see at a certain day of the month. So the fact that she didn't see at that day of the month one time, so maybe that was a fluke. And maybe she'll see the following month at that day of the month. So the Taz thinks that, in essence, by a flug, it's the same thing. There's a tendency to see at a 20-day interval. Once you're covered, that tendency to see at 20-day interval, so even if she didn't see at this 20-day interval, but that day is still significant. Maybe there's a fluke why she didn't see, but she's still programmed to see at that interval. So even if she didn't see at that first 20-day interval, that day still has significance because she should have seen then. And maybe she will see at the next 20-day interval from that day 20 because her biology is still programmed based on those intervals. So it doesn't make a difference that she missed that re'ia. It's not that you're counting 20 days from nothing. That day still has significance, Avrami.
According to the Marechal, what's the difference between a vest hafluga, a vest kavua la hafluga, and a vest she'ino kavua?
The difference is that a vest kavua la hafluga will be chozer. If let's say in this scenario, you didn't see, you had a 20-day interval, you didn't see on day 20. So now you're not choshesh for day 40. But at any point that you see later on, that could be chozer v'neir. According to the Beis Yosef's understanding, according to the Taz, you still have to be choshesh based on the vest she'en kavua for day 40 and for day 60. So you're not just like a vest kavua, even vest achodesh also, as we discussed last time, the rush, that you have a vest achodesh kavua, so long, and you're oker that, but so long as you aren't kavei a new vest, then that vest is chozer v'neir in a single instance. So this haflaga could also be chozer v'neir, but you don't have to be choshesh for intervals 40 and 60, according to the Marechal. And the Shach and the Nekuda Sakasef is Docha the Taz. He assumes it's not analogous. A Vesta Chodesh is not analogous to a Vesta Flaga. If you didn't see after the Flaga of 20, there's no further concern that you're going to see Dam based on that previous history, even if it was a Vesta Kavu up to that point. Sidri Tara points out in Sifkat and Kaf that the Ramban in the Halacha seems to be Mefurish like the Marechal. The Ramban seems to be Mefurish that you're not going to count off Laga from a day that you didn't see anything on. The Ramban is Perek Vav Halacha Dalet. Perek Vav Halacha Dalet, he writes, Hifsika V'lo Rasa. So if a woman doesn't have the anticipated Riyah, Misha Avar La Yom Kaf, that in that case, we have a vest kavua for 20 days, and she doesn't see at the first 20-day interval. She does a bedika. There's no dam. She need not be concerned going forward about that original flaka. So you haven't been, the Rav Rami's question, you haven't been totally okay the vest. It's still dormant. And it could be chozer v'neir. So at the point that there's a later ia, it's going to be chozer v'neir if you weren't kovei a new vest in the interim. But there's no chashash for that vest kavua of a flag of 20 if she didn't see at the first flag. Rabbi Morgenstern points out that Rov Achronim, the majority of the later Achronim, the Torah Shlomim, Sidrei Tara, assume like the Shach, like the Marechal, against the Taz and against the Beis Yosef, that there's no need to be concerned, even if you have a vest haflaga kavua, after a single instance in which you don't see at that interval, you don't have to be concerned going forward about that kavua interval until you see again, and then it could be chozer v'neir if you are in kavei a new vest in the interim. Okay. Achrona discussed the following case. The Alter Rebbe, for example, here in Siflam and Ches, that for purposes of Akira's vest, let's say you have, let's talk about a vest HaChodesh, but it may be relevant to a flag also. If you have a vest HaChodesh Kavua, so a woman sees on, always sees an Aleph. And then in the context of trying to be ochre that vest, by not seeing on three consecutive Aleph, when you have a vest kavua for Aleph, in order to be ochre that vest, you have to have 3 months in a row in which you don't see an Aleph. Let's say in those 3 months, you see 1 month an Aleph, 2 months an Aleph, and the third month, you have a Re'iyah that begins on Kaftes and continues into Aleph. So even though for purposes of creating a vest kavua, or for purposes of establishing what the onus of vest is, we assume, as we discussed previously, that we generally only look at the day of the re'iyah. So even if there is aside from that case in the Ravid and Shulchan Aruch, where you have a very short re'iyah, but if you have a normal flow that extends over a few days, We only look at the first day as the onus avest, but in terms of being ochre avest, the Alter Rebbe writes, and this seems to be accepted by many of the later Achronim, Minchas Yitzchak, for example, Chelech Ches Semen Ayin Dalet, Minchas Yitzchak, Chelech Ches Semen Ayin Dalet, Shevet Alevi, Chelech Ches Semen Kuf Zayin, Shevet Alevi, Chelech Ches Semen Kuf Zayin. And in that case, if you have Re'ias on Aleph, or, sorry, you start, let me rephrase it. You have a Veskavul for Aleph, and now you want to be, you want to be ochre that that veskavur. So 1 month, I misspoke. So 1 month you see on base, okay? 1 month you see, next month you see on gimel. Okay, so we're two-thirds of the way to being ochre the veskavur. And the next month you see on kaftas, and kaftas extends to aleph. The Alter Rebbe writes that that's not enough to be ochre the vest. That in that case where the flow extends, the same flow that starts a day early extends onto that Yom Avest, that's still considered that there is a Re'iyah on the day of the Vest Kavua. That's not enough to be Oker, the Vest Kavua. Many poskim assume the Minchas Yitzchak that we just cited and the Rav Osner, they assume that this is relevant even for a Ves She'eno Kavua. Let's say to be Oker a Ves She'eno Kavua, all you need is one instance of not seeing on that day. But let's say you had a Ves She'eno Kavua of Aleph for the next month. You have a Re'iyah on Kaf Ches or Kaf Tes that extends to Aleph. So Minchas Yitzchak, Shevet Levi assume that even there, in the context of a Vest She'eino Kavua, that's not Oker the Vest She'eino Kavua. Rabbi Force quotes other Achronim who distinguish between a Vest Kavua and a Vest She'eino Kavua in this regard, that the Alter Rebbe is only of concern if it's to be Oker a Vest Kavua. But for a Vesh Eino Kavua, you'd be Oker Vesh Eino Kavua as long as the beginning of the next Re'iyah is not on the same day. Even if the Re'iyah starts the day before and flows into that day, that would be Oker Vesh Eino Kavua. Rabbi Willig is of that opinion as well, that the Alter Rebbe is only relevant by a Vesh Kavua and not a Vesh She'eino Kavua. Okay. The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph has the Sugya of Kofetzes, where there's a connection between some physical action, which objectively speaking shouldn't be tied to a Re'iyah Stam and the Re'iyah Stam. So the Gemara has Amar Rav Huna, kafsa verasa, kavla vesa. If a woman in three instances jumps, and then there's a Re'iyah Stam subsequent to the jumping, that creates a vest. Lamai, ilem liyamim. They were talking about a Ves liyamim. How call yama de lo kafetz lo chazai? They were talking about a Ves liyamim. On the days that she didn't jump, she didn't see. So it's the kvitsa that's significant, not the yamim. El kvitsas. So it must be talking about Ves l'kvitsas. That anytime you jump, then you have to treat that as a yama Ves. I have a tanya koshi tekvena makmas ones. I feel a kava kama pamim lo kava vest. That ones is not enough to create a vest. My love lo kava vest klal lo kava vest liyamim luchudayu luchvitzos luchudayu. I have a kava lo vest liyamim uluchvitzos. So the Gemara there says no. It's talking about creating a hybrid vest. You can't create a vest just luchvitzos, but it is a combination of yamim and kvitzos, meaning you only see on a day that you jump. So then you could have a hybrid vest, liyamim ulekvitzos, where if every aleph of the month you see and you jump before seeing, so anytime there is jumping and that date of the month, that would create a vest. And then the Gemara has another lashon. Kafsa Barasa, Kafsa Rasa, Kafsa Rasa, Kavala Vesli Yamin below the Kvitzas. So if there's a combination of Kvitzas and Yamim, you're only Kavala Yamim and Ala Kvitzas. So what comes out of this Gemara Le Maskana? The Rashi understands, it's highlighted more, it's not as Beferish in Rashi, but Tosas highlights this point. Tosas the Maska Ala Kvitzas, excuse me, on the top of top of Yud Aleph and Aleph. That Lamaskana, excuse me, Lamaskana, you can have a Vesel Kvitzos below Liyamim. You can have a Vesel Kvitzos below Liyamim. The Ran understands that this is only in the Havamin according to Rashi. The Rashba understands that it's even Lamaskana, that you could have a Vesel Kvitzos below Yamim. That's what the Balamor understands as well, meaning that even if there's a association whereby subsequent to jumping or any other kind of physical activity, a woman has a Ria. So then if that happens three times, and every time she jumps, she has to treat that as an onus avest. And the Ravid understands that Lamaskan is a Gemara, that you only have a hybrid vest. You only have a vest, Liyamim Lukvisas together, meaning that it's only if every Gimel HaChodesh she has a Ria and she has Kvitzos, so then if there are no kvisas associated with it, so then we treat that as a straight vesta chodesh, then she has to be choshish for every gimel. So this comes to create essentially a kula, that we don't automatically treat a gimel a chodesh as a yom vest. We're only concerned if it's gimel and she has kvisas. So then you have a hybrid of kvisas and the yomim, and that's going to create a vest. That's what Tosus assumes, the Ramban of Chidushim, and the Rashba. The Magen Mishnah understood within the Rambam, Perikas Lachahei. The Rambam sounds like you could be kovei a vest liyamin below kvitzos, even if she has kvitzos. The Magen Mishnah understands within the Rambam. The Rambam was posek lechumra according to both lashonos of the Gemara that if you have you have to be machmir to treat a vest liyamim independent of the kvitzos, even if there are kvitzos associated with it. And if you have kvitzos without a vest, you have to be machmir for that as well. In Shulchan Aruch, the Chaver basically paskins that there is no, we're not concerned about a vest l'kvitzos alone. So if a woman has an association between some physical action and the Riyas Dam, even if it happens repeatedly, that doesn't concern us. Sif Yuzayin, kol vest jenikba machmas ones, afila rasabo kama pa'amim eno vest, Shemineya Onas Rasa. Kavsa Virasa, Kavsa Rasa, Kavala Vesli Yamim, below Kvitzos. Even if she has Kvitzos, we're only concerned as far as Yamim, not as far as Kvitzos. Ketzad, Kavsa Be'achav Shabbos Virasa Dam. V'la'achar Kav Yom, Kavsa Be'achav Shabbos Virasa Dam. V'la'achar Yotes Yom, Kavsa Be'achav Shabbos Lo Rasa Dam. So the third instance, she didn't see Dam after the Kvitzah. V'la'achar Shabbos Rasa below Kvitzah. So if we treated Yom Kvitza as a Ves Kavua independent of Yomim, so then all we're looking at are the Kvitzas. And if you don't have three instances in a row in which she's Kafetzis and then Roa, then there's no Kvias. But we, the Mechaber Paskins, that if you have a Kvias Yomim, that exists independent of the kvitzos, even if sometimes there are kvitzos, not sometimes not kvitzos, will still create the vest liyamim. And the Rama adds, that even though the Mechaber paskins that we're not concerned about kvitzos alone, the Rama says you should still be choshesh for a vest of kvitzos, at least as a vest she'eino kavua. I mean, you can't create a vest to onus as vest kavua, but you have to treat it as a vest she'eino kavua. Okay. You can take a look at the shocks of Kata Memkes, the shocks for their qualifications. Just trying to finish up whatever we can and try to wrap up today. The next topic here in the Siman is Avest HaGuf. So the Gemara has Okay, the Mishnah Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Kol isha sheyesh lo vest dayashaita. Elu heina vestos. V'fahekes, mateshes, kosheshet, v'fikresa, v'shikula me'aha, shofas, k'min smar moros, oksinasa, v'chein kol kayose v'hen. Kol shekavu lo shoshabam in mereza vest. So these are instances, we'll explain what they are in a few moments, of vest haguf. Vest haguf are, in Rabbi Forst's English, symptomatic vests as opposed to causative vests. Vestos where the vest haguf is a symptom of a physical state where the dam is going to come out to anticipate, which anticipates a riya, as opposed to something that causes the riya, or a simen as opposed to a sib, if you will. We'll talk about the details of the examples of the Mishnah in a few moments, but what is the rationale of being concerned for a vest haguf, for women having certain physical signs that are the potential harbinger of a re'iyas dam? So the Rashba writes on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Amar Rav Huna, that's from the Kafesas Gemara, in contrasting why we're concerned, about a vest haguf, much more so than a vest ha'ones, even if you can't be kaveya vest l'kvitzos, but the mission refers that a vest haguf does concern us. The Rashba writes, v'tayma she'ein elu gormin l'vest she'yavo, ala adaraba ha'vest goreim l'mikrim elu she'yavo. Or the similar lashon in Sama Gimel Amud Aleph, kan adarabah mikrim elu einan ba'in ela machmas avest, the avest who shugarim lehen sheyavo, kederach hamikrim aba mitzad ha'choliyim. That it's not that the vest aguf is causing the dam to come, it's that the dam causes these physical manifestations of the vest aguf, as opposed to ones, where the question is, this is an unusual situation. Usually a woman who's kofetzes is not going, there's no association per se, there's no medical connection per se between being kofetzes and re'iyas dam. So it's not that the question is the kvitza causing the dam to come? So that's the potential concern by Vesta Kvitsas, is the Kvitsas causing the dam to come. And how likely is that, or how concerned are we about that? But by Vesta Guf, it's not that the Vesta Guf is causing the dam to come. The Vesta Guf is the simon that the dam is on the way. So that should be of more concern to us than a vest ha'ones. So what are the examples of the Mishnah? So Mifahekes, Rashi writes a French word, which in the Nemukei Agrif says, Hu Adam Shaposhet Evarav, based on the Tosfei Rush, that stretching. A person who stretches, it sounds like, in a somewhat involuntary way. Rashi in Shabbos says that it's yawning. And that's what Tosis writes here as well. Rashi Shabbos Kuflam Medvav Amun Aleph, Tosis here, that it's a yawn. Rashi Brachos Kuflam Amun Aleph writes that Pihek is no trikun for Lepiv Hekim, that he erected his mouth or opened up his mouth, which is a yawn. And the Aruch says that Mifahekes is a burp. And the Rush writes in Siman Aleph that there's no machlokas adina, even if the Mishnah is only referring to one of these, but these all potentially are kinds of a vest haguf. Mateshes, the Ramban says, Perif Avalach Ches, that means releasing gas. And that's how it's presented in Shulchan Aruch. The Shach in Sukkot Nun Gimbal quotes the Rambam, Perish Mishnayis, and the Aruch and Tosfos, that it means normal sneezing. And again, both of these are true Lalacha, whichever one is the Kavana of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah has Koshashet, Bifi Kresa, that means stomach pain, stomach cramps. Shipule Me'eha is abdominal pain. Shofas, the Gemara indicates, is that your Shofas Dam Tame, that comes out of Dam Tahor. I mean, you start emitting some kind of Dam Tahor, but then that is going to lead to Dam Tame. It's marmoros, the Ramban says, are tsire kadacha, some kind of contractions that are caused by a fever. And then the Gemara in Samagil Mavez has additional examples of Vesta Guf that don't appear in the Mishnah. The Gemara has Rashaha Beivareha Kvedin Aleha, that they're headaches or limaches. Rosachas, Beis Yosef says that's a fever. Gosa, which Rashi there says that's a yawn. Tosa says that's a burp. So all of these are various examples of Vesta Guf between the Gemara and Samuel Gimel Aleph, the Mishnah Samuel Gimel Aleph, the Gemara and Samuel Gimel Beis. The Shach quotes the Rama Peir Shemeshnayis. Rama Peir Shemeshnayis has Dikaon as well, which at least in the Kapak translation, that's depression. So these are all examples of a vest haguf. The Magen Mishnah understands Midas Rambam. None of the other Rishonim seem to have this approach. The Rambam Perek Ches Halacha Beis, Perek Ches Halacha Beis, the Magen Mishnah understands there that for the Rambam, a vest haguf is only relevant if it's combined with a vest liyamim. Just like by a vest kvitzas may only be relevant if it's combined with the vest liyamim. The vest haguf also is only relevant if it's combined with the vest liyamim. But that's the other Rishonim don't have that. That's not how we assume lehalacha. The Aruch HaShulchan in Oth Nun Gimel writes, one of the examples that the Gemara has, we just referenced, is Shofas. The Gemara is talking about a case where you start experiencing a re'i of Dam Tahor, and the concern is that Dam Tahor, or the reality is that Dam Tahor is going to lead to Dam Tahor. So Aruch HaShulchan points out, nowadays we don't have Dam Tahor. All our Dam we presume to be Tame, but it's still relevant if a person potentially could have some kind of a wound And there's some connection between that Dom coming out and then an anticipated Rhea. Okay. Tosfos, Dibra Maskil, Nateshes has the following. The Kulu Hani Vestos, Iri, Shemifahekas, and Nateshes, Shah Ushtayim, the Ace Chirigila Liros. When we're talking about these various manifestations of the Vesta Guf, we're talking where they're experienced for an hour or two leading up to Riyah. But if it's a single sneeze, even if there's a pattern that a woman always has a single sneeze and then she sees Dam, that's not enough to create a Vesta Guf. It means that over the course of at least an hour or two, the woman is having successive manifestations of this physical Vesta Guf. The sneezing, the gas, the cramps. The fact that the Gemara Nami Beis raises in this context, Chilas Ves, Sofas, you can't talk about a Chilas Ves and Sofas Ves, we're talking about a single sneeze. So, minimally, in order to create a Vesta Guf, it has to be that this physical manifestation is taking place over a certain amount of time, which Tosa says, an hour or two. Lashon L'Rosh in Siman Aleph is the second Siman Aleph is Kama Pa'amim Zachar Zeh. So maybe not an hour per se, but at least multiple instances in succession, not just a single instance. And the Lashon of the Mechaber is a Harbe Pa'amim. Sif Yates, Yesh Kovas Vest Ayde Mikim She Ya'ar Begufa. It only happens one time. That's not enough to create a kvias, a vest. So it has to be harbi pa'amim zachar zeh. Again, Tosfos is an hour or two. The rush is kama pa'amim. The mechaber's lashon is harbi pa'amim. And the Torah Sashlam in there in Sivkat Lama says, on Harbi Pamim says that's what Tosis means. That's Shoh Shtayim, at least. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Os Nundalid, the Da. Da Kavana B'chol Eilu lo alpam echad v'lo shnei pa'amim v'lo shlosha klomar. Delovim neshim v'fahekas amateshes eitha pa'amim v'yom choshishin l'zeh. The fact that she's sneezing or gassy a few times, that's not what concerns us per se. So it has to be the repeated phenomena over that day leading up to the Re'iyah. The ilu piyuk v'itush eza pa'amim zeh darkei shebnei adam. It's just a few sneezes, or a few instances. That's nothing exceptional that everyone could have. V'chein kol ma shechashavnu v'chein amarnu darkavana asakin b'riba. It has to be excessive in a way that there's no other explanation, or it's not otherwise normal for women to experience these sensations for that more protracted period of time, if not for the fact that it's somehow connected to an impending Re'iyah. So if the woman tends to sneeze often, and she's sneezing the same way that she would sneeze, even if it's sneezing a lot, that is not a Vesta Guf. It has to be that it's a protracted manifestation of these physical signs in a way that wouldn't otherwise be explainable. That's basically what the Shach writes in Sukkot and Dalid. Harbi pa'amim de'im lokein ein aves nikba b'kach ki zed derek kol ha'olam ve'in kan shinoi. If it's not harbi pa'amim, then that's a normal. That's not considered shinoi. That's not something that could be associated with the impending Okay. So that's essentially the minimum amount of time that a woman needs to experience these kinds of vestos aguf, these kinds of physical manifestations in order to create a vest aguf. Now, what is the window of time between having these manifestations and the re'iya within which we need to be concerned? The Rashba writes in Torah Sabayi Sidalev and Aleph, Paka Virasa Barosh Kodesh, Vishuv Pam Sheni, Pam Shlishi, Paka Bekoftes, Virasa Barosh Kodesh. So the first time she has this manifestation, it's the same day as the Riyah. And the next time, it's the day before the Riyah. So he says that's a Vest Morkov, a vest that's a hybrid of the vest aguf and the yom. The piyuk de emesh kagarim, because you can assume that the physical manifestation the day before the re'iya is connected to the re'iya. V'hadalo chazai ki paka emesh mishun d'asti lo matazimni. She didn't see the dam right away because it wasn't time for the dam to come yet, but it's a clear harbinger of the dam that's going to... that's going to come. And the physical the process of the dam coming out has already begun, even though there hasn't yet been a re'iya at the time that she has this this physical manifestation. That's what the Rashba writes. The Ra'an Bedek HaBayis argues as follows. He quotes his Rashba, who says, that if she has a vest aguf for this kind of physical manifestation the day before the re'iya, it's still connected to the re'iya. Says the Ra'a, ve'enu nachem klal. V'ro ani divrei chavireinu, she'ena kvitzas domin v'dinan lipi hukin. She'a kvitzas garemes levest she'yavo. So when it comes to a vesta ones like kvitzas, then you could say that the kvitzas causes the re'iya. V'kevan she'kein, efshe she'a kvitzas she'yom zeh garm levest she'yavo levachar. So if the kvitzas causes the re'iya, there could be a lag. You could have a kvitzas today and a re'iya tomorrow, because there's some lag between the physical activity and the re'iya. Aval lepiyuk ein okein, ella havest garim lepiyuk sheyavo. Here, it's the vest that causes the physical manifestation. The efshar levest ligrom bias hapiyuk yomecha kodol machin. And if that's the case, I mean, the Rashba himself had made that point that we quoted in the Chidushim before, the difference between a vest aguf and a vest akvitzos, is that when it comes to the vest aguf is the simen, not the siba, to the fact that there's a re'iya that's about to take place. So the Ra assumes, if that's the case, it can't be that there's going to be a gap of a day between the piyuk and the re'iya. It's the vest that's causing the piyuk. It's the opening of, it's the expulsion of the dam from the uterus that is causing the piyuk. And the Ra says it can't be that there's going to be a gap of a day between those two events. So if you have this physical manifestation the day before the Riyah, that doesn't create a vest aguf. And the Rashba, in his retort on the Mishmar Sabayis, doesn't argue on the principle of how we conceptualize the vest aguf, but he says the physical reality that is creating the vest aguf is the buildup of dam in the uterus. So that buildup, or before it's going to be released, takes place before the re'iya. So then it's still reasonable that you could have a vest aguf for that physical manifestation the day before the re'iya, even though it's a manifestation of the fact that the body is getting ready to expel them. Okay, so that's the focus of Rashi and the Ra'ah. Are you concerned about a vest aguf if there's a gap of a day between the vest aguf, between the physical manifestation and the initial Ra'iyah? Rabbi Morgenstern points out that you don't find in Rishonim any discussion of a gap of more than a day. The Nidon of the Rashi and the Ra'ah is about a gap of a day. What about if it's more than a day? So you don't find that in Mefurish anywhere in Rishonim that you'd be Koshesh for a gap of more than a day. However, he points out the following Hagos Maimonios. Hagos Maimonios Yisui Bia Peridalet Oslamid. Yisui Bia Peridalet Oslamid. He writes, this is in the context of, are we concerned if a woman sees dam after a tefillah? Maybe that was a maisa that the Gemara had, the Maran. A woman sees dam after tefillah, what does that, what does that, what chashash do you need to have going forward for that woman? So he writes, Miu mechash chashinan chadazim na acharia. So if you go, Imrasa pam achas of shtei pa'amim, Bilal Shani Shel Tfila. Acharkach Tifrash Bibailo Lel Shani Shel Tfila. So if a woman sees Dam the second night after Tfila, then she has to be Pereshis Bibailo the second night after Tfila. Veinu Sricha Lifrosh Lel Shani Shel Tfila Shlishis. The Kol Kama de la Kava Ves Lo Cheshinan Elachad Azimna. As if she saw dam leil sheni l'tfilasa, so the next month she has to be choshes leil sheni l'tfilasa, and the month after she doesn't if she didn't see in the second month. So Rabbi Morgenstern thinks that maybe there's some mashmos in this Mordechai. It's not the same case, but here the concern is that maybe there's association between tefillah and the Ra'iyah, and if she sees Leil Sheni L'tfilasa, then you have to be choshesh for 2 days after the tefillah, or the subsequent night. So that's a gap of more than 1 day. You know, it's not really a vest aguf. I'm not sure. Not sure how much of a rye for anything that is. But Rav Osner has in the Shir Shevet Alevi that if you do have these kinds of physical manifestations, even more than a day before, in a predictable way, you theoretically have to be choshesh. Meaning, a woman. So let's say has cramps. It's probably the most likely instance of a vest aguf that are always associated with as a precursor to the Ra'iyah. So if those cramps start 3 days before her Ra'iyah, in theory, you might have to be choshesh for that as a vest aguf. He says that you have to figure out what is the minimal gap between the onset of the vest aguf and the Ra'iyah. Meaning a woman, let's say, always has cramping in advance of her Ra'iyah. So if the woman pays attention and there's never less than a full day between the onset of her cramping and the onset of the Ra'iyah, so then you don't have to be choshesh for that as a vest aguf during that first day of cramps. If a woman sometimes will have cramping for 3 days before the Riyah, sometimes for 2 days before the Riyah, sometimes for half a day before the Riyah, so then you have to be choshesh for that half a day, which is the minimum amount of time that that the woman would begin experiencing that cramping before the onset of the Riyah. So theoretically, Rav Avner thinks, that there's no time limit per se during which you're not concerned for vestiguf, but you can figure out the shortest interval between the onset of that vestiguf and the Riyah, and you don't have to be concerned for longer than that shortest interval. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv said you don't really have to be choshesh in principle for more than a day, meaning if a woman will have cramping for multiple days before the Riyah, so you only have to be choshesh for that time window, which is closer to the Riyah. But a chacham ein abrosha, you have to figure out or be sensitive to what the pattern is and when you reasonably would expect that you're going to anticipate or you're going to experience the Riyah. The Mechal writes in Sifkaf Gimel that in order to create a vest haguf kavua, you have to have three instances of the same manifestation. So if two times she has one kind of physical manifestation and a third time she has a different kind, that doesn't create a vest kavua. That's based on a Magid Mishnah. Then the Ramah here talks about the vest ayidei achila. That's also the Gemara in Samach Gimel Amud Beis, but that's not terribly lemaisa. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Just if you have a chance to run through the rest of the siman, at least Mechaber or Mashach, we touched on some of the latter points of the siman in earlier contexts as well. I think we'll stop here. So tomorrow, Shechter will.